I'm going to be reading in a text this morning from the book of 1 Kings about a man by the name of Elijah. Actually, it's not in my heart so much to magnify Elijah this morning as it is to magnify Elijah's God. Elijah went to heaven in a whirlwind and a fiery chariot, and a mantle was dropped. And Elisha picked up that mantle, and Elisha smote the river with that mantle, and he cried, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And this morning, I'd like to continue with that thought. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'll say this, you can't go anywhere where he's not. But I want to show you in the Word of God, looking at the life of Elijah and how that God used Elijah. I want to show you the manifestation of the God of Elijah in the Bible. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter number 17 and verse number 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." I want to ask you something this morning. Who do you believe is in control? A lot of people act like God has fallen off of his throne, but he's still on the throne. He's still got this thing, amen. There is the prince and the power of the air. There is a fellow by the name of Satan or Lucifer or that old dragon, whatever you want to call him. A liar and the father of a lie. But thank God there's one greater than him, and he lives in me. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We're going to pray this morning and see if we can find Elijah's God. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Down through chapter number 17. And trust it'll be a blessing in your hearing. Father, thank you this morning for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for our visitors this morning. Lord, thank you that Jesse's come back to be with us. And Brother Mike and his family. Brother Chuck and his wife, Jane. Lord, we just pray, God, that you'll bless them today. And Lord, we're missing some of our people. We know God has, Brother John told us in Sunday school, Lord, they're getting up in years. And Lord, sometimes these old bodies, they're so frail, they break. Lord, we pray you'd be with them this morning that couldn't be here. And then, Lord, we pray that you'd minister to them that are here today. And God, I pray the Spirit of the living God would clothe us in our calling. Lord, I didn't come to please man. I came to please you. And I pray, Father, that you'd be pleased, our Lord, just to show up in our midst today. Make us, our Father, a blessing to others. And God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We look down through the Word of God here. I'll just get right into the message. I want to give you three places that we're going to find the Lord God of Elijah. In chapter number 17, the first place we're going to find him is by the brook. The second place we're going to find him is by the barrel. And the last place in the chapter that we're going to find him is by the boy. There's a little boy whose life is in danger. And I want to try to magnify my Lord and my Savior this morning, looking at him in these three places in the Word of God. First of all, we look by the brook. The Bible said here it's going to come a drought. There's not going to be any rain. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying in verse 2, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Do you know what we need to do in this generation? We just need to do the same thing Elijah did. We just need to go and do according to the word of the Lord. This Bible ought to be the instruction manual for our lives. We should not be operating outside of the word of God. We ought to be operating inside of the pages of Scripture and the bounds that God has given us in His Word. We look here in the book, by the brook, and we see the Lord God of Elijah. And I'll give you several things as we go down through the text. Number one, by the brook is where the Lord situated Elijah. Let me ask you something this morning. Let me ask you a question. It's a very sobering question. It was God that put Elijah by this brook. I want to ask you a question. Are you confident this morning that God has put you where you are this morning? You see, there is something concerning the will of God that many people never find in their life. I want you to know, beloved, listen, that God has situated Elijah by this brook. And where you are, where God wants you to be, God will bless you and God will strengthen you and God will help you. How many's ever been where God did not want you to be? And you knew what it was, beloved, when God cut the blessings off. And you knew what it was, beloved, to be out of place, to be out of His will. But isn't it a blessing this morning to be able to go to the house of God and know I'm sitting where God wants me to sit. I'm situated where God wants me to be. I'm under the spout where the glory runs out. I'm there, beloved, where God wants me to be in my place. And I can expect a blessing from God Almighty because of that. It was by the brook that the Lord situated Elijah. But then it was by the brook that the Lord sustained Elijah. The Bible said in verse number 4, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." In verse number 5, "So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." I'll give you some things right here. The word of God is teaching us here that God is in control of nature. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, beloved, he commanded the ravens. Now let me give you something this morning. This will help you. This will keep you from getting off in that crowd that prays and commands God to do this and commands God to do that. Beloved, listen, we're not to command God, but God is to command us. We are His creation. Amen. God is the one, beloved, that commanded the ravens. Elijah didn't command God. The ravens didn't command God, but God commanded the ravens and they were going to feed Elijah there. You say, "Preacher, what's so special about that?" Let me give you a couple of things that I learned as I studied ravens. Number one, they're a greedy bird. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" They're so greedy they won't even feed their young. They're so greedy that they won't even bring food to their young. They're a greedy. Number two, if you look in the book of Leviticus, they're an unclean bird. They're a bird that was not to be eaten by the children of Israel. You say, "Preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with anything." I'm telling you that God is going to take care of Elijah in a very unlikely way. And God wants you and I to know that it doesn't matter what it takes, beloved. Once was young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed a begging bread. God will take care of His own. He sustained Elijah by the brook. He fed him with the ravens. Amen. That's a blessing to my heart and to my life. You know, in the Old Testament, I'm not trying to impress you, but there's a term that I learned years ago. It's called theophanies. That's when the pre-incarnate Christ would appear as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. And God could have sent an angel, Brother Grizzle, to feed Elijah just as easily as He sent a raven. But it wasn't Elijah's call. It's not my call. It's not your call how God's going to take care of us. God chose to use the ravens. And I want to thank Him this morning that He chooses to use the likes of you and I to get His job done and to sustain folks by the brook. By the brook, we see the Lord situated Elijah. By the brook, we see that the Lord sustained Elijah. But I'm going to give you something this morning. You kind of have to read between the lines a little bit right here. But I'm going to say this. By the brook, the Lord stirred Elijah. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Look in verse number 6. The word of God said, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Let me ask you a question this morning. Knowing, beloved, that God had sent you down by the brook, do you believe, listen to me carefully, do you believe that every morning here comes a raven with bread? Here comes a raven, the Bible said, with flesh. Do you believe that a man could sit there morning after morning and evening after evening and not be stirred in his heart that his God thinks so much of him that he would take this unclean bird that is known for being selfish and known for being greedy and continually, oh, I'm telling you this morning, listen, change the way you look at a peanut butter cracker when you look down at your plate. If you'd realize, beloved, listen, that's more than we deserve. And beloved, it's the God of heaven that's given us that that's on our plate, and how we ought to thank him, how we ought to stir our heart that we're not digging through a trash can this morning to get something to eat. Amen. God ought to bless us. I believe it stirred Elijah. I believe when he was down there, and here he comes, morning. How many believes God is faithful? How many believes that Elijah never did miss a breakfast? How many believes that Elijah never did miss an evening meal? Amen. Whether you want to call it dinner, whether you want to call it supper, doesn't matter to me. Just call me. Amen. He never missed a meal. And God blessed him, amen, down there by the brook. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I tell you where he is. He's by the brook. I want to give you this morning. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Not only is he by the brook, but beloved, we'll find him by the barrel. Look what the Bible said in verse number 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Let me give you something, folks. Listen to me carefully. There are times when God moves his people. Listen to me carefully. Now listen, there are times when God's people move without direction from God. That'll get you in trouble. But beloved, the brook dried up. And God is moving Elijah. God has someone else in mind. God has another blessing in mind. Listen, sometimes God wants you to stay right there by the brook your entire life. But I'm going to tell you, there are going to be times, beloved, when the brook's going to dry up and God's going to want you to go. Amen. He has something else in mind. And I'm just going to say this to you this morning. Listen to me carefully right here. You're looking at a preacher that does not believe that God moves an individual or moves a family or moves in a Christian's life to get them to do less. Everybody hear what I just said? Honey, when God's in it, listen, he's wanting you to do more for his kingdom, more for his glory, more for your benefit, and more for the benefit of others. God is moving Elijah. So now no longer is he by the brook, but now he's by the barrel. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Boy, this jumped out at me last night. This never had jumped out at me before. God has commanded the widow woman to sustain Elijah, and the widow woman doesn't even believe she can sustain herself or her son. You say, preacher, what's so big about that? I'll tell you what it is. God's already got it before you and I ever know God's already got it. You see, God was already feeding me, Brother Gale, before I ever come to the realization that he was feeding me. God was already clothing me. I mean, I thought it was my daddy, but no, it was the God of my daddy that was putting clothes on her back and kept a roof over her head and kept us something to eat. You say, preacher, you can't say, yes, I can. Is a house a good gift? Are clothes a good gift? Is something to eat a good gift? The Word of God said every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, within whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Beloved, every good thing that we have comes from the hand of God. There was a time when I didn't know that. There was a time when I didn't realize that. But Oh, honey, one day I received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I got the blessing of figuring out that He hadn't only given me salvation, but He had given me everything that I had in this world. Amen. What a blessing it is to know that. The Bible said, so He arose. He went to Zarephath. And when He came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman. And watch this, not just a widow woman, the widow woman. That's important. You say, preacher, what do you mean? God had already told Elijah, there's a widow woman. I've commanded her. He's specific to sustain thee. Notice what the Bible said here. And she's gathering sticks. And He called to her and He said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it. As she was going to fetch it, He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a little morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, it could be that Elijah didn't know anything about the barrel yet. It very well could be. All he knew, Brother Rose, is God had commanded a widow woman to sustain him there. He was to go down there to Zarephath, and God was going to, He took care of him by the brook. Elijah didn't have no problem moving. I believe with all my heart he's thinking like this, God, You took care of me by the brook, and You'll take care of me down Zarephath. And Lord, You used the ravens, now You're going to use a widow woman. Don't know how You're going to do it, Lord, but I do know this, You're going to do it. Boy, wouldn't that be good for the church of the living God to get a hold of. Don't know how You're going to save my grandchildren, but I'm going to trust You that You're going to save my grandchildren. Don't know how You're going to do it, but I'm going to trust You to do it. By the barrel. Watch this now. And as she was going to fetch it, He called and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And look what she said in verse number 12. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. She doesn't have a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Listen, this is not a play on words. This woman's at the gate getting her something to build a fire with so that she can get the last little bit out of the barrel and use the last little bit of oil so she can make a little cake, and she and her son are going to sit down and eat it, and that's it. There's a famine, amen, and they're going to die. And listen, I believe with all of my heart, the barrel represents an hour of desperation. Listen, she was desperate. And listen, if you've never been desperate for yourself, I'll tell you this, it's easier to be desperate for your children than it is yourself. She's desperate for herself. She's desperate for a little boy. It's an hour of desperation. Look at verse number 13. This barrel represents not only an hour of desperation, but it represents an hour of dedication. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Aren't those good words to hear when you're in an hour of desperation? Don't be afraid. Fear not, honey. Watch what the Bible said. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first. You want to know why a lot of God's people are missing the blessings of God? I'm going to tell you. Because they don't know what it is to be dedicated. They don't know what it is to put God first. Listen, this did not make any sense to this woman, no doubt. She loved her little boy. But Elijah said, listen, honey, he didn't say it out loud, but he's thinking, I've got a word from heaven. God said He's going to use you to sustain me. So you just take care of what God said first, and everything else will be all right. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to Baptists this morning. I know I am. But you know what I believe? I believe a lot of Baptists are missing the blessing because they're giving God leftovers instead of giving God first what belongs to Him. If I have any time left over, I'll give it to God. If I have any talent left over, I'll give it to God. If I have any of my substance left over, I'm going to feed my family first. But if I have any substance left over, I'll give it to God. If I have any money left over, I'll give it to God.
I'm going to tell you something right now. There are multitudes of people missing the blessing of God. This woman would have missed God's blessing had she not been dedicated and said, all right, man of God, I'm going to do what you said. And when you get right down to it, she's saying, all right, man of God, I'm going to do what he said. I'm going to take care of you first. You say, preacher, what's the big deal? It represents an hour of dedication. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Listen, let me tell you something right now. I'm not just preaching this, I've lived it. I'm telling you, I've seen God come through. I used to get it on the radio and I'd listen to those men and they'd talk about their budget and they'd talk about how you need to do your finances. My wife and I would get our pencil out and we'd get our paper out. And I'm telling you, it was just an absolute impossibility to make that end match up with this end. And we'd throw the pencil down, throw our hands up and say, God, we don't know how you're doing it, but you're feeding us. You're paying the bills. It's impossible with men, but it's possible with God. God. Here's a woman that minds God. Here's a woman that's going to do it first. The Bible's talking about an hour of dedication. And then it represents the barrel, an hour of declaration. Look what's going to be said. The Bible said in verse number 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. It represents what God is declaring. He tells her, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. David said it like this, I once was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed begging bread. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. It'd do something for you. If you had a barrel, I don't know how big the barrel was. I can remember the barrels around the mill over there at the Glade Spring area. There was a mill. I can remember some of them old barrels. They was about that tall, and they was about that big around, about 12 inches round. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It'd do something for you if you reached down in there and you got you a handful. That was the last handful. But you look back down in there, there's more. And you reach down in there the next day and you get that. And you reach down in there the next day and you get that. I'm going to tell you something. You'd know that wasn't Elijah doing that. You'd know that was the God of Elijah doing that. You'd know, beloved, listen, that a miracle had taken place in your presence. They pour the oil out. Set the bottle back up. Right back up there where it was. Pour it out again. Right back up there where it was at. Amen. I expect when I turn a bottle of water up, Brother Gale, that pretty soon I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I don't expect to turn a bottle of water up and get a great old big gulp and set it back down and they go right back to full. That'd be a miracle of God. That's what's going on right here. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Elijah's going to tell about it. The woman's going to tell about it. And the Bible said here, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. And here it is, according to the word of God. What I said a while ago about the children that are being born, the children in the children's church on this side, the children, listen, that's all just words unless you've got a book to back it up. But I'm telling you, God's grace will be the same in every generation. He'll be the same for them as he is for us. They will look to him and lean on him. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I tell you where he's at. He's by the brook. I tell you where he's at. He's by the barrel. Let me give you this third thing and I'm done. I tell you where he's at. He's by the boy. The word of God said here in verse number 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Now let me give you something this morning. If the person sitting next to you quit breathing, would that command your attention? If it was your youngin, Bob, if it was Sawyer, would that command your attention? I'm going to tell you something, Bob. I love you. But Sawyer's got something worse than that going on. He's born in sin. And there's going to come a day when he'll be accountable for that. And the Word of God said he'll be dead in trespasses and in sin. You say, preacher, why would you talk to a daddy like that? Because it's in Papa's heart. I don't want Sawyer to go to hell. I want that day to come when Sawyer looks up and realizes I'm dead, but he's alive. Brother Al, he's alive. And that one that's alive can help this one that's dead in trespasses and in sin. He's by the boy. Let me give you several things right quickly. There's a great need. You say, preacher, what do you mean there's a great need? Because it's being pictured here that he's sick. It's being pictured here that there's no breath left in him. The Word of God said in Matthew 9:12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. He said, but go and learn what this meaneth. I'll have mercy, not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Beloved, ain't nobody ever got saved till they realized they're a sinner. They sinned against the holy God. This young man here is a picture of you and I before we met Christ. He's a picture of that person that does not know Jesus. He's sick. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The Bible said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's a great need in this boy's life. There's a great need in this mother's life. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to him carefully. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's the truth. This world is full of mothers and fathers that care about nothing in this world except their stinking selves. God wants us to look at those children and love those children and lead those children to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They must be born again. They're dead. They're sick. They're dead in trespasses and sin. By the boy, there's a great need. By the boy, secondly, there's a great deed. And he said unto her, look at verse 19. Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Let me give you something here. Elijah looks at this woman and says, give me thy son. You don't see her fighting that? This would be a good way to word. Maybe what's going on in her heart. What have I got to lose? My boy's dead. My boy's not breathing. What have I got to lose by giving him to that man of God? What have I got to lose? Let me ask you something, Mom. Let me ask you something, Dad. What have you got to lose by dedicating your children to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you something right now. They need to be. We need to pray for them. We need to love them. We need to steer them in the right direction. We can't make them get saved, but praise God, we can lead them to the water where they can get a drink of living water. Beloved, there's not only a great need with this boy, but there's a great deed. The Word of God said that Elijah carried him. I think there's something going on here that's important. I believe the church has missed it in these days. I believe there's a whole lot that's going on inside the church of the living God for show. I said it and I won't take it back. It's the truth. Elijah wasn't interested in going out in the public square. He took that little boy up there in that bedroom where it was just him and a little boy that was dead and the God of heaven that could do something about it. He wasn't interested in a show. He was interested in God's power, and the need was great, but the deed was great. He got that boy in the presence of the Lord. And the Word of God said here, he laid him upon his bed. I want you to see this. Not only is there a great need and a great deed, but there's a great plea. Look at verse 20. And he cried unto the boy's mother. I'm just saying if anybody was awake. That ain't what he said. He cried unto the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There ain't but one. Sister Teresa, there ain't but one could save Emma. I know you would if you could. I know David would if he could. I know Justin would if he could. I know Amanda would if he could, if she could. But y'all can't do it. You got to cry to the one who can. Oh, God, don't let my grandbaby die without God. Oh, God, it'd be better. She had never been born as to leave this world without God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to show you that there's a great plea here. He cried unto the Lord. I believe if you could have been in that room, it would have touched your heart. You know what we need in our churches? We need more great cries unto the Lord. We need more people begging God for His power, for His presence, begging God to save their lost loved ones, begging God to meet the need in their life. A great plea. The Word of God said here, "Hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?" One thing I love about Elijah, he ain't perfect. Brother Don, he's confused. Elijah's confused. He said, "God, have you brought evil upon this widow by slaying her son?" How many of y'all ever been confused? How many times have you run into something that don't make no sense? The Bible said here, beloved, he cried unto the Lord. He said, "Hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." Ain't nothing fancy about that prayer. Ain't nothing long about that prayer. That prayer just gets right down to what's needed. Oh God, let this baby live again. Let the soul come back. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. We need the old God back in our altars. Oh God, bless our homes. Oh God, bless the preacher. Oh God, save my loved ones. Oh God, send revival. Oh God, do it again. We need it back. We need that old God back, that desperate plea. And the Lord, look at that in verse 22, heard the voice of Elijah. I mean, he's glad he hears our voice. I ain't never figured out why, Brother Tim, that the likes of him would give the likes of me the time of day. But I know that he does. I know that when I bow my head, and when I talk to the God of heaven with a humble heart, he hears my plea. I know that. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again. And he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber and into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" There's a great plea right here. There's a great answer to prayer right here. How many believes that you're looking at one happy mama right here? Her son was carried up the steps, not breathing, and carried back down, breathing. There was a day, beloved, when I was carried to the house of God, not breathing. I was dead in my trespasses, dead in my sin. And I left the house of God breathing. That brings me to the last thing. Look at this great decree. Look in verse 24. The Bible said, "And the woman said to Elijah, Now, by this, I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Let me say this to you today. There's a whole lot of people in Bloomingdale that need to know that. That the word of the Lord is truth. Beloved, listen to me. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I believe he's by the brook. I believe he's by the barrel. And I believe with all of my heart, he's by the boy. And I'll tell you where he is this morning. He's wherever you need him to be. He'll be there. He's omniscient, means he knows. He's omnipresent, means he's everywhere. He's omnipotent, which means he's got the power to do whatever needs to be done in your life. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Let's bow for prayer this morning. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please. I want to ask you a question this morning. What is it this morning that you need? Do you need the Lord to sustain you? He will. Do you need the Lord to save your people? Have you asked him to? There's some old-time preachers years ago. They had a funny way, kind of a peculiar way, be a better way to say it, of pronouncing the word beg. How many knows what I'm talking about? They'd say, I beg you, Lord. I beg you. When's the last time you ever begged God for anything? When's the last time a tear moistened your cheek? When's the last time you realized, beloved, that your loved ones, your children, your grandchildren, without Jesus, will leave this world and go into a Christless eternity? Your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad. I wonder this morning, just before we have a song of invitation,